Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio. Good to have you with us here today. Going to say welcome to YouTube at the same time. All of our YouTube friends and family, may God richly bless you this morning. As you have joined in with us, we love you and we appreciate you and we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. It is a beautiful day. Just, that's enough. Quit trying to talk over the pastor. It's a beautiful day here in North Dakota. Sun is shining, not a cloud in the sky. We got an extra 8 inches of snow to melt down in the ground to give us a good base for our spring planting this year. And we welcome you here today. Hopefully you got a beautiful day where you are. And most of all, know this. It is March the 12th. Spring is upon us. Spring is upon us. I just love it when we get to say that. I love spring. My dad was always looking for the first robin to show up in the yard. He was always looking because he knew when the robin was there that spring had finally come into the state of Michigan. And my dad loved all the seasons, but he always liked spring. And we always had a great time together. Now, today, we're going to be talking about spiritual authority in the book of Hebrews. Now, we've been studying this whole week on spiritual authority. It's been a very interesting week of study here at the Community of Faith. You can't say it's unlike any others that we have had, but because we do this regularly. We find a good series by one of the great men and women of God in our day, and we'll listen to it, and we'll go right after it. Why? Because you and I are determined to come to the revelation of the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ. We are determined to be there. Maybe you're a part of us, and you're like, well, Pastor, I'm not quite as determined as you are. Well, then I'm telling you right now, get yourself on fire and get determined. Get your fire stoked up and burning. Because Jesus said, if you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Well, there ain't one of us that wants to be spewed out of Jesus' mouth. I mean, literally, when you study that word, vomit you out, that's what the King James says. It literally means to hurl with great force from the retching of the gut. That's what Jesus said to the last days Laodicean church, which will be lazy, which will be rich, which will be fat, which will be arrogant. And they said, we have need of nothing. And Jesus said, you're wretched, poor, naked, and blind. Get yourself hot for God. And get out there and change your world. And so that's what we're doing our best to help people do. Every time we come here, we welcome you. This is a program that runs every single day, 7 days a week, doing something here 7 days a week. Most days it's about 5 hours of podcasting. Now, I want to say something to anybody that might be listening. Just because I'm doing 5 hours of broadcasting as a pastor doesn't mean that you have to. And if you're a pastor and you don't broadcast nothing, that's up to you. I would never steer somebody else's ship because there's only one ship master. His name is Jesus. It's not Samuel Cotto. I'm not the master. But I want to encourage any pastor that might be listening to me. You might be saying, how do I reach my community or do the will of God better than more or greater or more intense, more have a greater reach than what I do? And I'm going to tell you, get in touch with me. We're on Zoom. We're on YouTube, Facebook, Blog Talk Radio. And we have the ability to be on, anybody has the ability to be on, I don't know, 29 or 35 platforms all at the same time. You can preach the gospel all over this world at any moment's notice. Right now, in this program, we are preaching to 53 nations on Blog Talk Radio. Well, Pastor, do you know? I just watched my stats. and it stays the same. So that means they're staying there. And that means 53 nations of the world are drawing from us. That is a very interesting thing. I was studying a message by Bill Johnson the other day, and he said how many nations they were in, and it was like 120 nations. And I'm thinking, my goodness, that man's been at it for 40 years. He's in 120 nations. We've been at it for 2 years and are in 53 nations. Can you brag about any of that? There ain't a brag you can do about nothing, because I've not done anything to be in those nations. Just put it on Blog Talk Radio and be faithful to make sure it's there every time to the best of our ability. So I encourage you, if Holy Spirit has put in your heart and you have a fivefold ministry gift and you want to be ministering in other nations, then get in touch with me and I can begin to show you how to make that happen, because we've been doing it now. I mean, we're coming up here. Wow, check it out, guys. Look at it. I hadn't thought about that. In 10 days, it'll be 3 years.
Wow. Wow.
Anybody
wow.
want to give a glory be to God? Glory be to God. Sitting here thinking about all them days. Wow. Thank you, Sunday. Thank you, Brother Dan. I can see you guys. Sister Leanne, my wonderful wife, thank you for being there with us. Wayner Dude's with us. Love you, man. Been an interesting, that is very interesting. Well, all right. I guess we'll, it's time to be thinking about a party or something. What's the party this year? Wow. Anyways, time to get busy. 1 hour of faith and then communion. That's what this program is. We always sit here and talk a little bit together. Those of you that's been praying for us here in North Dakota, we did have somewhat of a blizzard, but not real bad. We got a lot of snow, probably about 8 inches. We did get some wind. They did shut the roads down yesterday. I haven't checked yet today. See what they're saying. Whoops. Maybe they're saying the roads are open. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The roads are all open. Time to get busy and go to work. That's a cool thing. Roads are open. Back to work we go. And from this snowstorm, had a great, great testimony of an angelic encounter by one of my truck driving buddies who on Friday night went out about midnight to rescue one of his guys that worked with him who was stuck in a snowbank. And Brother Leo's been a truck driver for many, many years, probably 30 years, 40 years, something. And 20 years, I don't know. But he's been up here for, well, he knows this, he knows how to do it out here. So he took off to go help his friend and pull him out of the snowbank. And I'm going to tell you something. If you've never been in Michigan or one of these northern states where you have a blizzard where you just can't see, you might not know what this is. But it was one of those nights out there, and it was a blizzard. And he said, I just finally got to a point where there was no place else there was no place else. He couldn't go. He said, I couldn't see but right to the front of my truck. So he just had to pull off to the edge of the road the best he could. So literally got out of his truck and walked around and kicked the snow off the road so he could find out where he was at on the road, because you just couldn't see a thing. And he said, I could tell I was right at this big intersection where I could turn around and go back to Williston and just call my friend and say, I can't come get you. And, but he said, I had no idea how to make that turn because you couldn't see. It was, everything was just white. It was just completely white. And he said, I'm just sitting there. I'm just sitting there looking. And, he called me before he went on this run and said, hey, preacher, let's pray. So we prayed together. We do that regularly. he prays for me and blesses our business, and I pray for him and bless his business. So I prayed, and I said, Lord, send angels. Ready? I said, Lord, send angels of God to surround and protect my brother as he's going. So he's just sitting there thinking about what he's going to do, and a truck, pickup truck, pulls up alongside of him. Listen, two guys, both of them got a ball cap on, sitting in the truck. He gets out and says, I'm all right, guys. I'm just sitting here. I can't see to make the turn, and but everything's fine. I was going to go rescue a guy. They're like, well, that's interesting, because we're going up the road to rescue a guy who's stuck out here. And he's like, all right, I'm fine. I got fuel. I got everything I need. So got back in his truck, and he said they literally drove their truck exactly through the intersection like I would have to make the turn with my semi, and parked with their lights where I could see it, as if to say, follow our track. You can see our headlights turn right here. And he's like, thank you, Father. You just sent me two angels in a four-wheel drive truck that made the loop for me and then put the lights so I knew where to aim the front of my truck. Hooked it in gear, followed the path, got on the road, and the truck is gone. Angels of the Lord, in this storm right here in Williston, if that don't make you shout glory be to God, I'm encourage you to get your shouter fixed, because that's a wonderful story right there as we're sitting here in Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. Now, grab your Bibles, hold them up. Bless your Sunday. You got a drink of coffee with you this morning? I got my grandsons with me this morning. This cup says, Grandpa, you are loved. And I have it with me on every one of my programs because I love my grandsons. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 11. No, let's not go there. Let's not go there. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Whoops, that's not the right pastor. Hey, pastor, do you know where you're going tomorrow? Yeah, I'm going right over here. Well, I got me a new set of verses last night, and I got to get them going here. Hold on. Huh. It's all right. I thought I knew exactly where that was. No, that's all right. Just don't let it. Hebrews 13. It is 13. I don't have it underlined. That's what the problem is. And I don't have my pen, but it'll be all right. Hebrews chapter 13, and then we'll go back to 11. Here we go. Let's read 1 through 6. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unknowingly entertained angels. I like that. I like it when I get to entertain an angel. But verse 3, remember the prisons as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. That means if you're married, you're supposed to enjoy being in bed together with each other. That's not a message, but it is a good message. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Now, last night, we were studying with Pastor Samuel J. Cottle, Pastor Andrew Womack's not a pastor, he's a teacher, because he said, if I pastor, I'd blow people right out of the water. And then we were studying with Pastor John Osteen, and Pastor John Osteen was giving us this verse right here. Jesus said, so that we may boldly say, whatever it is we've heard and seen that Jesus said, you and I are supposed to said those same things very, very boldly. Be bold in setting what Jesus has said. Now, that might not be good English, but it sure is a good revelation. Why? Because God has got to make sure that his word is spoken. Let's go to the famous Amos verse. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Let's go to Amos. Does anybody know where Amos is? Seems like somebody took it out of my book here. Amos, and we're going to go to Amos, what is it, 3:7. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Amos 3:3, and then 6 and 7. Amos 3:3, and then 6 through 8, actually. Here we go. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Well, if you've ever been married, you know right now, two ain't going to walk together unless they get agreed, because there's somebody always pulling against the reins if you're not in agreement. So you got to get in agreement. If you're in a marriage situation right now where you guys are butting heads, I encourage you to do something very important. Fast and pray. Set yourself aside to fast and pray and deal with yourself. You can't deal with that other person. God does not give any one of us the permission to deal with another person's life. You cannot make anybody else righteous. You cannot make anybody else holy. You cannot make anybody else serve God. So what you got to do is deal with yourself. As soon as you deal with yourself, then God is going to give you the ability to begin to stand in the gap and make up the hedge for other people. Can two walk together unless they're agreed? I got a word for you. If you and I don't decide to agree with God, you're not going to be able to walk together with him. You and I have got to find this verse in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Said, so we may boldly say, when our words are in agreement with his words, and the two of us then get to walk together in agreement. It's not some pseudo-spiritual position you work yourself up into so you can finally pray the will of God. No, you pray the will of God by daily just speaking what you see is on this. I know a lot of charismaniacs who they can't pray until they get themselves all worked up in a dither. And then they finally pray. No. The greatest prayers are those that are just spoken from the confidence in who you are in Almighty God. Faith says to the mountain, move. Sickness, and it's gone. Finances, come, and they come. Mountain of discouragement, move. Because when you know who you are in Almighty God, you don't have to scream, holler, yell, shake, You don't have to land a ground quiver. You don't have to get the quiver voice when you're talking love. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. You don't have to do that. Now you might while you're praying. There's no holiness in that. There's no holiness in that. When God said, come boldly to the throne of grace, he didn't say come loudly, come obnoxiously, come arrogantly. What's boldly mean? The door is open. Walk on in. You know that song that we've been singing with Crystal Gale? The veil is torn. The door is wide. I see glory and I run inside. My kids never hesitate to come give me a hug when they come running in the house. Why? I'm their dad. My grandsons don't hesitate to give me a hug when they see me. They run up to me and hug me immediately. Why? I'm Papa. You don't have to have 2 hours of praise and 3 hours of worship before you can walk into God's throne room. Literally, when we get this, he lives inside of us 24/7. He is right here. And the relationship is one of a relationship 24/7, 365. Whether you're awake or sleeping, whether you're eating or taking a shower, it doesn't matter if you're driving down the road, if you're out mowing the grass or cleaning the horse pen down in the barn. It don't matter what you're doing. God's in the middle of it with you. And God just said here in Amos, unless two of us, you can't walk together unless you be agreed. Well, he will not come down and agree with you. He says, I want you to come up and agree with me. Isaiah 45, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. But he didn't say they couldn't be. He just said to those people on that day, your ways are not my ways. My thoughts are high above your thoughts. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which is ordained for our glory. So we can come to the level of God's thoughts. And Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus. That is a commandment. That is an assignment. That is a focus that you and I got to get. And we got to say, hold it. God's not holding me back. God's saying, come on in. And guess what? We choose today to come on in. Hebrews, Amos chapter 3, verse 6. Lord, have mercy on me. I got to just get going. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will the people be afraid? If there is calamity in this city, will not the Lord have done it? Well, if the city is rebellious and going against God, then God brought calamity on them because they rebelled against him and refused to listen. But in the day we live, you and I that live in a city and we're righteous, because you are righteous in the middle of a wicked city, you bring the righteousness of God into that city with you. You do. You bring that righteousness into the city with you because you're righteous. That day, they made a sound with a trumpet that told everybody in the city what was going on. There was trumpeters on every corner of the city so that everybody could hear the same sound being played by the trumpeter, and everybody knew what that trumpet call was. In the day you and I live, we don't have trumpeters in our cities. We got a tornado siren here, but that ain't no trumpet. But where's the trumpet? It's now inside here. Look at verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing until he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophet. So God is going to be faithful and speak to you and I through his prophets in this last day. And you and I got to be able to get our ears cleaned out. And it's not just the wax out of this ear. It's get the wax out of the ears of your heart. Get your ears open and say, I choose to hear the will and the voice of Almighty God. A lion is roared, who will not fear? The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? Now, Hosea chapter 12, verse 10. Hosea 12, 10. I have also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. See, what God is saying over here in Hebrews chapter 13 is, I have spoken through the men and women of God who are prophets and prophetess. And once that word has come out through those people, Hosea 12, 10. Hosea 12, 10. Once God has spoken, now you and I can boldly say, not hesitantly, not timidly, not quietly, inferiorityized. No, we may boldly say what God our Father has spoken, and we can see his word. That's why it's so important that you live in the word. That's why this program is so important to you and I right here today. Why? Because every time we come here, God is going to speak his work. He's going to speak his word into all of our lives. Now, I want to get those two references in there. Hang on just a second. The one here is, let me grab this verse. Isaiah 55. And that is 6 through 13. Isaiah 55, 6 through 13. And then Isaiah 55, 6 through 13. And then that other reference, I want to make sure we get these into the notes. The other reference was 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 6 through 16. If somebody could type those in for me. Isaiah 55, 6 through 13. And then 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. I must be way ahead of you guys in my comments, in my preaching, because it seems like it's taking a while to get up, but it's all right. I'll be okay. I got my finger in the two pages, so if you didn't get those references, I'll give them to you again. That's why I always say it's important that anybody that can type in a verse, help us do it, because that makes it so the next people that come along can actually see what the verses are, and it'll be a blessing to them. Isaiah 55, 6 through 13, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. All right, now I'm back in Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, love. Hebrews chapter 11. You know, it just hit me while I was sitting there. Adam and Eve are not in the faith chapter. I mean, I guess I knew that. Abel's in the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going. We've been in a series here on Sunday mornings by faith, and then we preach one of these messages. But today's message is completely right out of here. This, it's called Spiritual Authority in Hebrews chapter 11. So let's read these verses again. We've read them many times, but the way you get a word from God down deep inside your soul is that you speak that word, and you read it again and again and again and again and again. I followed Dr. Bill Winston closely because of his business savvy. I just like what the man does. I just like him. Got connected to him quite a while ago, and he's just one of those men that's got the word that I like to listen to. And well, it's a connection from God. Let me get my statements right. It's a connection from God, and I know it's from God, and I'm going to be faithful to that connection. But I've only actually shook his hand one time, so it's not like I'm saying I'm some kind of close friend of his. Just a ministry that I'd really draw from. And when he preaches, God gives him a set of about four verses, and that man will literally preach those four verses for a year. Every time you open up your Bible with him in the Sunday morning service, he's going to give you those verses. They're going to be in everything. Why? Because he's going to get that word down deep inside of you so that your life will change forever. Now watch this. Hebrews 11, 30 through chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews 11, 30 through 12. Now let's watch spiritual authority. It's what we studied the last 2 weeks now. Let's watch how spiritual authority shows up in these verses. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Their spiritual authority was not in their lips first, because God said, don't say a word. Their spiritual authority was first in their silence. Joshua came to him and said, don't say another word in the camp. Not man, woman, child, nobody say a word. Can you imagine bringing silence on a camp that's got 3 million people in it? Or a million, or maybe a million and a half by now, because 3 tribes have left their women and children back on the other side. Can you imagine the king of Jericho standing up on the top of that of walls of Jericho, looking out there in the valley and seeing that million and a half people spread out and not hearing one word? He had just watched them from the top of the walls of Jericho cross the Jordan. The king of Jericho watched all that from the top of his building on a hill. And he said, we are doomed for hell and destruction. And the people came on by. They went on by. And then they just made this huge camp. There's a million people in this camp, folks. And they're watching it. But then all of a sudden, Joshua says, be silent. And the whole place goes quiet. And then he said, gather the men and march around the city one time and return to your camps. On Sunday, they marched around the city. On Monday, they marched around the city. On Tuesday, they marched around the city. On Wednesday, they marched around the city. On Thursday, they marched around the city. On Friday, they marched around the city. Now think about this. Silent. Their first spiritual authority in this battle was silence. It was obedience by silence. And then God said, march around the city 7 times. Well, by the end of the 6th day, you know how human nature is. Those people aren't going to do anything. They've been marching around us for a week. By now, the people in Jericho are laughing and jeering at them and making fun of them, probably throwing things at them. And after the 7th time, they stopped. Well, now everybody's going to go silent in Jericho because they watched God open up the Red Sea, and then they watched God stop the mighty River Jordan in the flood season. And the children of Israel turned and faced that wall. And then God said, shout. And out of their mouth came the voice of triumph that shook the walls of this city, which is built on a hill, and the walls fell uphill in on top of itself. Uphill. Buildings, when they fall apart on a hill, don't fall uphill, they fall downhill. But these fell uphill on itself. They saved and rescued Rahab, the harlot, and her family, and then burnt the city with fire because God said, this first city is holy to me and keep it holy to me. Now, we just read out of Hebrews 13, God said, so we may boldly say. Sometimes like the children of Israel, I got a long ways for, I'm getting ready to read 14 verses. I got a whole long ways out of one verse, but we might just be here all day, because here is spiritual authority found in the very first verse that we're reading today in verse 30. You can see spiritual authority in it. They knew who they were in God. Rahab knew who she was in God. The children of Israel knew that Joshua was a mighty leader. God said to be silent. They were. God said to shout. They did. And the walls fell, and they never had to swing a sword. Why? Because the walls fell by the shout of victory that came off their lips. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. God said, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Whatever it is you see God saying, I encourage you to get it on a piece of paper, get it in your phone, put it in a note in your phone, and begin to boldly proclaim it, boldly declare it, boldly make that thing come to pass by your words. I love the ways of God, because there is no way humanly possible that you and I can do the things that he's asking of us or requiring of us to do. But this is what we do know, that when we do what he says to do, then we are going to see God do such mighty, amazing, powerful, wonderful things that we'll learn to be silent when he says be silent, and we'll learn to speak boldly when he says speak boldly. We'll circle the city, or we'll send out the singers first. Go there. It's not in my notes, and I really wanted to preach the rest of those, but we might as well just walk on the water here. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20, because this is a classic take spiritual authority chapter right here. Watch this. 2 Chronicles 20. All right. Let me see where the verses are here. Verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab, the people of Ammon, and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to do battle against Jehoshaphat. Some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. Now watch this. All of a sudden, you and I look at it and say, well, then if that's what's got to happen, then let's proclaim a fast in all of Judah. And you know what? What was he proclaiming the fast for? Because he was scared and freaked and didn't know how to handle it? No, because that was God's assignment in that moment to bring the victory into that situation. Now watch this. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And then Jehoshaphat prays a prayer. O Lord God of our fathers. I'm in verse 6. Are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? And watch this. This is an all right prayer for you and I to pray, but don't pray it in the Old Testament covenant. Pray it in the New Testament covenant. Because God is within you. Don't act like you're an Old Testament guy. Be a New Testament guy. So how would I pray that verse from a New Testament covenant, Pastor? O Lord God of our fathers, you are God in heaven, and you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. And in your hand is power and might so that no one is able to withstand you, and you live inside of me. See, what is that? Now, God spoke so that you may boldly speak. They got an old covenant. We got the new. In the old covenant, they had to beckon God from heaven to get him to come to earth. In the new covenant, God lives on the inside of it. In the old covenant, their sins were still imputed against them. In the new covenant, our sins are not imputed against it. In the old covenant, they only had the day of atonement, one day of a year, and then they had to do blood sacrifice of animals all year long, until the day of atonement came again. In the New Testament, our day of atonement is the day we're born again and filled with this Holy Spirit. And from that day on, you don't get righteousness one time. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In this new covenant, you got to get this revelation. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not maybe. Not might be, not I hope someday I might finally make God happy. In this new covenant, you are made into the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So in the new covenant, when we pray the words from the old covenant, we take out the question, we take out the fear, we take out the wonder, and we add to it the prayer they pray, we add to it the knowing that that same God lives on the inside of you and me. My. Now let's go down here. I was thinking that this told us how many people had set themselves against them, but it didn't. So now, verse 20, 2 Chronicles 20:20. This is perfect vision. I love it. John Wayner, Sunday Geyser, Roger Oxy. Love you guys. I didn't get to see everybody that's over there, but if you haven't signed in lately, sign in so we get to see you there and we can say hi to you and we can welcome you to be a part. Now watch this. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Early in the morning, they rose up and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. For those of you that live in Williston, it's just right over here. Not really, but. Why? That's what God told them to do. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat the king said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem." Now wait, Jehoshaphat is not the prophet. Jehoshaphat is the king. This isn't the prophet speaking. This is the king. This is the governmental leader speaking. God give us some governmental leaders that are filled with the word of God like this man was. Hear me, O Judah. Believe in the Lord your God and you will be established. Believe his prophet and you will prosper. What did Amos say? Amos said, when God chooses to do something on the earth, he speaks through his servants, the prophets, first. So what is this guy saying? Jehoshaphat said, believe his prophet and you will prosper. You got to have a prophetic voice in your life. Not necessarily someone who calls themselves a prophet, but someone who flows in that gift. And when you hook up, that prophetic anointing transforms and changes your life. The word of God will dwell in you richly. The courage of God will come on you often. The faith of God will rise up in you. And when you put all that together and you walk with God and follow that word, that prophet will lead you into a place of prosperity you never even knew existed. Why? Because it's God's plan. Then he sets the singers in front. This is spiritual authority in this battle. Israel didn't put the singers in front of every battle, but they did in this one. When David went after the Amalekites after they had burned his city there, what is it called? Not Keilah, but anyways, the city where David and his men had their homes and all of their families and children were, Ziklag. When David went after them, he didn't send the singers out first. He sent out the most brutal, mighty warriors he had. But in this battle, spiritual authority was send the singers out. And as they began to praise the Lord and to sing of his holiness and the beauty and the glory of his holiness, God sent ambushments against the enemy. Look at verse 22. This is 2 Chronicles 20, 22. When they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord sent ambushments against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against the Judah, and they were defeated. Don't miss the next verse. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. That means two guys were standing there still alive, and they said, "Oh, I'll stab you, you stab me," and then they died. They literally killed each other. And when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked, and behold, there were dead bodies falling on the earth. No one had escaped. No one had escaped. What was that? What was that spiritual authority in this battle? To send the praisers out first. But even though the praisers were first in Joshua's battle, they didn't make a sound. Some of you are like, what? Let's go look at it. Look at it. Come on. Hurry up. Turn in your Bibles. I don't have much time left. Somebody shout glory, hallelujah, or something. Let's see. I'm in Joshua chapter 6. I know I'm making a tough day for you today, aren't I, love? Verse after verse, we're bouncing all over the whole word of God. But see, this is a word for every one of you that's listening today. Remember this. God hasn't got one little pattern and he's stuck to it. God is going to lead you this way today, and he's going to lead you that way tomorrow. And the next day he's going to say, shout. And the next day he's going to say, be quiet. And the next day he's going to say, sow a financial seed. And the next day he's going to tell you, give that person a hug. And the next day he's going to tell you, rebuke that person. And the next day he's going to tell you to love that person. Why? Because in God, it's about a relationship where you walk with him every single day of your life. Because he said, I'm going to make my abode inside of you. And I will be to you a God, and you will be to me a people. I will be to you a father, and you will be my children. He's going to live right inside here. Look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 3. You shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horn before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times. And the priest shall blow the trumpets. You see, up until that seventh day, they were to be silent. Don't make a noise. Don't make a noise. they carried the Ark of the Covenant with them out there. But not every time Israel went to battle did the Ark of the Covenant go with them. What's the point you're making? Holy Spirit, what's the point you're making with this Holy Spirit? I got to find where I was at, 2 Chronicles 20. Don't, please don't connect, disconnect. Look at this. Watch this. What I am teaching you today is the necessity that every one of us have got to build a daily relationship with God our Father so that we have the ability to walk in the paths of righteousness with him every day. And one day he's going to tell you to do one thing, and the next day he's going to tell you to do something else. One day he'll tell you to pray for somebody, and the next day he'll tell you, you need to say this statement, and that statement will correct them. Some days he'll tell you to love, and other days he'll give you a word, and you'll say it. You won't even know why you're saying it. And when you say it, you'll be like the person standing in front of you, like, whoa, did I need to hear that statement? I said something to one man one day out here since I've been out here, and when I did, he just looked at me like that. Well, that hurt really bad. I'm like, well, brother, I wasn't saying anything to hurt you. He goes, I know you weren't saying that to hurt me. But he said, man, you just straightened my life right out right there with that statement. What are you doing? You're following the path of righteousness because God's in here leading you. Now watch. I'm in 2 Chronicles 20 and 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, because when you win a victory, you actually get spoil. When you win a spiritual victory in God, you actually get a financial spoil. I know people don't want to hear it, but that's because you've accepted the doctrine of broke, busted, and disgusted pleases God, and it doesn't please him. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to their work. And what are you going to do when Jesus gives you a reward? And you say, no, Jesus, I don't want that. Don't give me no reward. Well, then he'll just say, all right, we'll go to hell. Pastor, why would you say that? Well, because God's trying to give you a reward to bless you financially because you've been faithful to do his work so you can go preach more gospel, and you say, no, don't give it to me. Let's just stay broke, busted, and disgusted. God is trying to bless you. Quit acting like a group of poverty-stricken folks. I'm preaching better than most everybody saying amen right now, and it looks like it's just you left saying, can say amen on Zoom, Sister Leanne. She's like, I can't find the mute button anywhere. Look at this. They found among them in the spoil. They didn't steal nothing. They found among them in the spoils an abundance of valuables, precious jewelry. They stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away, and they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Now, guys, if you and I haven't spent a period of 3 days carrying away spoil, I recommend you ask God every day, Father, why don't I get a time where I get to carry away spoil for 3 days from a battle I've won? Wait a minute. When you ask the question, you got to be ready for him to give you the answer and say, well, I assigned you this battle and it's not done. Win the battle and you get the spoil. Woo! They were 3 days carrying away the spoil. Watch. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. God spoke so that we may boldly say the words that he has said. So that we may boldly say the words that he has said. Now, wait a minute. I got to get this right here Hang on just a second. This is off of last night's notes. And I'm going to put that over here in today's notes for some reason. They weren't already over here, but here we go. There we go. Now, I'm going to share my screen, and I want you to make this statement with me. Some of you are like, wow, preacher, how you doing all this? Call me, I'll show you. Let me get my screen all set up here. Now you'll be able to see. Let me go down here. And there we go. Now look at that verse. You can see it right on the screen. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such a death. For he himself, notice both of those words are capitalized. He himself, these two words are capitalized. Watch this. Bold, italic, and underlined. You can't miss it now. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, why did he say that? Look at verse number 6. So we may boldly say, he has said, so that we may boldly say. Now, go down here and look at this right here. These are seven confessions Brother Osteen gave us to say. Now, you don't have, I guess I better make them a little larger so you can see them, right, love? I didn't think about that. Let me make all this bigger. If you don't know how to do this and you're on a program and you'd like to learn, I will honestly show you how to do this because this is a powerful tool. I'm serious about this. A powerful tool. Now look at there. Let's make these seven confessions that Brother Osteen gave us to make last night. Well, he's in heaven, but the video we watched last night, these are the seven confessions that he gave us. You ready? I want you to say them right out loud and say them boldly. He has said it that we may boldly say it. You ready? I am saved. I am a new creation. I am delivered. I am born again. I am redeemed. I am blessed. I am forgiven. My. See, all of a sudden, when we begin to realize what God is doing here, we will realize there is a powerful force in what our voice is saying. God doesn't need you bashful. God doesn't need you timid. God doesn't need you afraid. God doesn't need you insecure. God don't need you crawling in on the floor in front of the throne saying, oh God, if you could somehow just listen to me. He has called you his son. He has called you his daughter. He has put himself on the inside of you. He has made you a force on this earth to be reckoned with, but you got to step up into it. Huh. Let's just do it. I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, so here we go. Let me find my Bible program. Bible program. There it is. I'm going to show you this. Some of you don't believe me. No, you believe me. But as of yet, you haven't got this down in your life yet. And I can tell that the Holy Spirit, he's told me about it three times so far. So I got to give it. Just give me a second here. I got to click on Romans chapter 5. Now, I guess I could just bring it this way. There you go. Just don't leave me, Bible program. Here we go. Look at this. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 5. Hope does not... Hey, Okolarte's here. All the way from Sweden. Three cheers. Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Hip, hip.
Hooray.
Bless you, Okolarte. It's good to see you, man. We call you blessed, prospered, delivered, healthy, healed, and whole in Jesus' mighty name. Now watch this. Verse 5. Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Given. You said, Holy Spirit, fill me? He did. When that happens, hope fills your heart. Because God's love has been poured out on you. Well, now that God spoke, verse 5, you and I should boldly speak, verse 5. Now, hope does not disappoint me because the love of God has been poured out in my heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to me. Make it personal. Woo! For when we were still without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's go down here. Watch this. I got to give you this verse. Do what? Talking to me?
Oh, sorry. I didn't realize my mic was on. No. Go ahead.
You got to be careful what you say in the background because we might just be listening to you and, you know.
I know, and we have a house full of people. So.
And no cussing or kicking the dog or nothing. Anybody that's watching, that was my wife I was talking to, and she doesn't cuss and she doesn't kick our dog for sure. He's a good, wonderful, good dog. Now, look at verse 15. Watch this. I'll highlight it. I don't know whether you can see it. But the free gift is not like the offense. Say this. God's righteousness is a free gift to me. God's righteousness is a free gift to me. The gift is not like that which came, but look at this. But the free gift resulted in justification. You got to get this. It's a free gift. You don't deserve it. Nobody does. But it's a free gift. And the result of the free gift is you are justified. Just as if I never sinned. Say it. Thank you for the free gift. See, all your sins washed away. God doesn't remember it another day. You are justified just as if you never sinned. Quit thinking about that stuff. It ain't who you are. It ain't you. 17. It's the one in the purple. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace. Look at it. The abundance of grace. How do you get that abundance of grace, Pastor? With your lips, boldly saying, I receive the abundance of grace. There's no other way to get grace working except receive it. Well, but Pastor, you got to do this and do that and do this and do that and do this and do that. That's because you want to earn your salvation like the Pharisees. And it will not work just like it didn't work for them. It's a free gift of righteousness. And then when you receive that, look at what will happen. The gift of righteousness will cause you to reign in life. Think about it. God gives you a gift, and because you received the gift, you get to reign as an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. Now, because of your goody two-shoes way of acting, you can never be righteous enough to find God. Paul said, if anybody was righteous, it was me. Paul was so good at following the law, he could keep all 613 of those laws. That's how good he was, in his own flesh. And what did he say? I considered it all right, filthy rags, because it was self-righteousness. And I received the free gift, and God transformed his life. Now watch. 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all, resulting in condemnation. Through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all, resulting in justification of life. Say it with me. I don't deserve it. I can't earn it, but I sure do receive it. I know, John, I feel the same way, my bro. And Brother John's in Tampa and about 80 degrees in sunshine, and I'm in Williston at about, 5 degrees and sunshine and a whole lot of snow. There's a big old difference between the two of us today, Brother John, but there ain't no difference in the realm of the Spirit, because it's the same God working in Orlando that's working right here in Williston, North Dakota, with a real feel of 4 below 0. Woo! Now watch this. Look at 19. Man, get your Bible open and look at this. Look at this verse right here. I wish I could make it bigger, but I don't know. I don't know where that is. How do I do that? Format? No. Edit? No. File? No. Format. It's got to be format. Ain't going to let me do it. Anyways, look at 19. 6 minutes. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, look at this statement, many will be made righteous. You can't earn it. This is not a wage. Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death. That's the rest of the verse say. But the gift of God. Hold on. Romans 3. I got to get it. I want to say it right. And right when I began to quote it, it's like, man, I don't know. Am I saying that verse right? 3:23. It's not 23. The wages of sin is death. Somebody tell me where that verse is. What happened? That ain't Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is righteousness through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, isn't that just something I don't even know where I'm at? That's all right. My wife always knows where I'm at. She helps me, and I really appreciate it. She's a wonderful wife. But 3:23 is a good one, too. It says
Romans 6:23.
Well, at least I had the right verse. Look at this. Let's go to 22 and 23. No, let's go to 20. 20 to 23. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That means righteousness had no effect on you. You were a slave to sin. What fruit did you have then in the things for which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. There was no fruit. It was death. 22. But now, want to say it boldly? But now, having been set free from sin, how? And having become the slaves or servants of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. And how did you have holiness? Except he gave you the free gift. 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Righteousness is a free gift. Do this with me. Hold your hands up and just say this with me. I receive your free gift. I accept it that you have made me righteous. I receive it from you today. In Jesus' name. One more verse. 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going down here to verse number 21. It's my, I don't know. I always say this is my favorite verse. But the bottom line is my favorite verse is about, I think I'm right about 100 favorite verses. Sister Leanne is easier to look at than me. Thank God for a good woman that's easy to look at. Amen. If you don't have one of those good women that's easy to look at, may God help you get one. Amen. Watch this. 2 Corinthians 5:21. This will be our last verse. Notice these capital letters. I can't get it any bigger than what it is. Wait, I'm going to do this. Watch this. Somebody want to know how to do this? Whoops. You go, oh, come on. You can't just do that like that to me because I didn't want you to do that. That's all right. I'll just put it right here. For he made him who knew no sin. Watch this. I'm going to just copy paste it and expand it. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Boldly say it. I receive the fact, the truth, that you have made me the righteousness of God. I am saved. I am a new creation. I am delivered. I am born again. I am redeemed. I am blessed. I am forgiven. I'm going to add my next one. Come on now. Do what I tell you to do. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Say it boldly. Say it boldly every single day. Because in heaven, already done. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive this word. We receive your word that is able to make us strong, the ever-living, all-powerful, almighty word of Almighty God. We receive it. Thank you that you have made me the righteousness of God. I don't have to understand how. It may never make sense, but you have made me the righteousness of God because of Christ Jesus. And I know that it was set up before the foundations of the world. And I receive it from you now. In Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name, In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, those of you that are new to us, you might be like, man, that's a powerful message, Pastor. Well, that's the Holy Spirit speaking, so that's what makes it powerful. If you want to get it again, just go back to the tape and book table and ask them, where's the link for the YouTube video? Those of you that's on YouTube right now, go down there, hit the share button, and when it pops up, copy the link so that you can go to this message and listen to it again and again and again. Spend this whole day listening to this message. As you're listening to it, stop. Put some timestamps in there. It'll be a blessing to you. It's free. Like Brother Keith Moore says, if it's free, there's no excuse. You can have the understanding of God. This is a good word today. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, we are going to receive communion together. Take your phone, take your tablet, take your computer, unless it's a desktop. Go out to the kitchen, get you some bread, get you some grape juice, get you some water. You don't have grape juice, but I encourage you. I know there's some people that say, oh, Pastor, it's just communion. It doesn't really matter that much. I know it does. It matters very much because to God, it very specifically matters how you treat his wonderful communion elements. And Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And therefore, you and I should do exactly what it is that Jesus shows us to do, and we should do it boldly, and we should do it confidently in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, we'll put our communion statement up here. There it is. We're going to have that. Good. That's all ready for us. Now, here's how we do communion around. I read the verses right out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we pray the prayer of salvation so that everyone who may have come to this video today or even until to the end of the millennium or the 7 years of tribulation, anyone who finds this video can be saved and receive communion until the last day of the tribulation. And if you live all the way through the tribulation and Jesus comes back to this earth to reign, then you get to be here with Jesus. But don't do that. Go in the rapture. You're not going to want to live on this world. This world's going to be a miserable place to be during the rapture, after the rapture. But you find this video and you miss the rapture, you find every video of this ministry under my name, you study them diligently, gather everyone around you, teach them to study diligently, receive Jesus. If you are called on to be a martyr, then walk into that martyrdom in great boldness, knowing that as soon as your eyes close on this earth, you're going to be rewarded an entrance into the kingdom of heaven. It says it right in the book of Revelation. All right. I got to preach on that now. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Sister Leanne's put the verses in there. We encourage you to be a part of it. Those of you on Blog Talk Radio, get communion elements and lead your whole family into it. Seriously, lead your children into it. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, when he had given thanks, he blessed it. He broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25, in the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often, 26, as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work, his death, burial, resurrection, infallible proofs, and ascension to the throne of God, the redemptive work of God, until he comes. As often as you do this. 28. Let a man, this is the process, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The first part of this is examine yourselves. Then verse 31 says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. We would not be judged. 1 John 5:4-18. Love has been perfected among us in this. This is what perfects our love, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Huh. How is that? Because as he is, Jesus, sitting on that throne, so are we in this world. It's written there. God said it so that we can boldly say it. Perfect love casts out fear, torment, and trauma, because there is no fear in God's perfect. There is no fear. Thank you, Jesus, for your wonderful, amazing, absolutely marvelous blessedness of Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, maybe you've never done communion online. Maybe you were trained that if you sinned, don't take communion. That is exactly opposite of what this Bible teaches you. So, the people that taught you that, you probably shouldn't listen to them for doctrine anymore. Because if they have their doctrine so messed up that they're teaching you if you sin not to come to the broken body and the blood of Jesus, their whole doctrinal statement is filled with anti-Bible doctrines of a familiar spirit called the spirit of religion. Because you don't have to study this Bible too deep to realize when you sin, you come to the blood of Jesus. Pastor, what did you just say? You got to follow sound doctrine. This is your answer. This isn't against you. The damnation that many talked about communion, is for those who come here mocking, not those who come here wanting. I release you from the fear of communion. I release you in the mighty name of Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Whoops, I got it here. Hang on. I'm learning a new process in this. Share the screen. Number three. I'm getting it. Everybody pray this prayer. I thank you, Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life from destruction. Jesus, I thank you for giving yourself for me so that I can be complete in you every single day of my life. Hold on. Phone's going crazy here. every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe in you and choose to receive you into every part of my life. Thank you, Lord. You have given me everlasting life. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me, and I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. You just prayed the prayer. You might say, Pastor, I don't even feel anything. Well, it doesn't matter, because it's never about feeling. It's always about, did your mouth say the right things? And did your heart mean the right things? And guess what? Jesus is the answer, like Brother John just said, is the only way to run if you have sinned. And we have all been sinners, every single one of us. Every single one of us, including me. I've been a sinner. What are you going to say? All have sinned and come short. There's the greatest news in the whole world is that as soon as you come to God, you don't have to sin another day of your life. I just love it. I just love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. And thank you for the revelation. Now, you might say, Pastor, what's going on in my life right now? I can tell something changed. Jesus, the light of the world, just came in because you asked him to. Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, just came in. Now, you have faith in you. The author of faith lives in you. Therefore, it's easy for faith to come through. Jesus, the righteous, is now living in you and has made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lift your hands and just say, I receive it. Put your hands on your own head and say, every cell in my being has been made righteous by Jesus. It doesn't matter who you were. It doesn't matter. I love it. Rahab the harlot is where the two spies went. She said, I know who you are. And I'll protect you. But you're going to save my life when you come here. She was a harlot. Saul of Tarsus was the most wicked Muslim terrorist there was. You know, somebody killing in the name of God. And Jesus said, well, let's go down and give him an opportunity to be one of my greatest apostles. Jesus knocked him off his donkey down the dirt, and he looked up to heaven and said, Lord. And Jesus said, that's the right answer. You get to live. And Saul of Tarsus, who was killing Christians in the name of God, became the greatest apostle and wrote two-thirds of the New Testament by the revelation of the Holy Spirit of God. There ain't a one of you listening to me today that's as bad as what that man was. Unless maybe you're a terrorist that's been killing Christians. No, it doesn't matter who you've been. Doesn't matter how many years you've been in prison. God don't care about that. And he doesn't want you to ever bring it up another day of your life. He's made you a new creation. And from this day forward, the only thing that matters is I have received the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am made clean and pure and holy and righteous and wonderful. And I am going to go into this world and help everybody that is bound and lost. I'm going to help every one of them come to the saving knowledge of Almighty God. And now I've gone to preaching. How do I live this Christian life, Pastor? Get you a Bible. Most of all, I recommend this one's called the Thompson Chain Reference Bible, the New King James Version. You can come back here to this video and replay it at this point, and you'll be able to see the name of it. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts. That's the stories of Jesus and the beginning of the church. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell, so that you can be here connected to us every time we come on here. I say this every time, but it has as much power today as it's ever had. It doesn't matter where you are in life. When you come here, God, by the Holy Spirit, automatically helps you be able to receive right where you are the message I'm teaching today. This is not college where you got to start at class one in order to get to a graduation point. Every day is a graduation point if you'll just receive the word of God and put it in you where it is today, because his words are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. In Jesus' name, let's receive our communion elements together. Hold them up. Whoops. Got to remember I'm doing this over here. So, pray this prayer with me. It's right on your screen. Say it boldly. As you instructed your disciples, Jesus, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your body broken, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Now, pray this out loud. You were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, my will, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's eat the bread together. In Jesus' mighty name. And now, I bless this grape juice in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, I overcome. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no more condemnation in my life. Woo! Somebody shout glory. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive this juice now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. By the blood of Jesus. Now, watch this. Communion is the same process as the Passover feast in the Old Testament. And that lasted a whole 24-hour session, sundown to sun up, or however it went. Anyways, God took all of that Passover feast, the sacrificing of a lamb, and as the book of Hebrews says, once and for all, there was never the necessity to sacrifice another animal another day. No matter how many times they did Passover after that, it was not necessary. Necessary. Because when Jesus bowed his head and said, it's finished, the veil of the temple was rent in two. And guess what? You never had to ever hesitate to go into the presence of God. Even if you're a sinner, even if you have sinned, even if you have started to walk with God, and for some reason, you know, yesterday or in Tuesday, you sinned and you did something you knew you shouldn't do. Listen, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So go to the blood immediately. Come into the throne room saying, Father, I've sinned. I come by the blood and I receive the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Help me get the revelation of the righteousness of God. And then if you're struggling with understanding the righteousness of God, I want to encourage you, send me an email. Please send me an email. I am asking you to send me an email. I'm going to do one. I'm going to do several things. I'm going to send you a YouTube video of me reading Romans chapter 3, 4, and 5. Maybe it's 4, 5, and 6. I'm not sure. You're going to get Romans, and you're going to get three chapters right there. The only way you're going to get the revelation of righteousness is to believe what this book says. I don't care what Dr. Reverend anybody said to you. If their doctrine doesn't match this book, you will not get the benefits of God's kingdom. So I'm going to send you that YouTube video. Listen to it every day. Listen to it multiple times in the day. You ready for this? Listen to it no matter how many times it takes until you've got it memorized. Okay, Larcy? Well, if I didn't reply to your email, then when this program's finished, I will find your email and I will reply to it. I guarantee it. I don't even know. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay, nay. I will find your email and I will reply to it. Thank you. Thank you for saying it to me. I encourage you, just like this. If you send me an email and you don't get a reply, you send me another one. Until it gets all the way here and makes a connection, don't be offended at an app, whatever you do, because it's just an app. And they fail just like anything else. It's run by a computer, so it's going to fail. You send me an email, and I'm going to send you the video of Romans where you can hear the word yourself on righteousness. I'm going to send you some teachings on righteousness we've done right here. Because until you get this basis of the righteousness, you will not have, you'll be frustrated in your Christian life. Because you got to get this basic bottom line foundation established in your life. It is not what I'm doing that makes me righteous. It's what Jesus has already done that makes me completely righteous and in right standing. And that righteousness now empowers me and I will never sin again. You're human. If you don't get enough sleep and you don't eat enough food and you drink too much coffee and not enough water and you don't read your Bible, then there's going to be days when you come up short. But you will never again another day just go out and blatantly sin against your God. Never. You got to get the revelation. And I have great teachings right here that is this open format that will help you come to the revelation of God. Now, I always say this, and I'm going to say it again, and we'll be done. My pastor's name is Mark T. Barkley. I have been with Dr. Barkley since 1993 as my pastor. So this year is going to be 30 years he's been my pastor. There are many of his messages that I have literally listened to 150 times. Why? Because it didn't make sense. This didn't make sense. Religious indoctrination ingrained in me, who knows where it came from. But what he was teaching didn't make sense. And so I'd put that, back then it was a cassette tape. I'd put that cassette tape in again. I would turn it on and I would take notes on another piece of paper with the last page having been the same notes I took. And I wrote the notes and I wrote the verses and I wrote the revelation God was giving me. And then that word began to break up the fallow ground in my life of religiosity, and it set me free. It set me free. And today, I never struggle with righteousness another day. I don't. Why? Because the word of God destroyed all that religious indoctrination, all that humanistic teaching that was on the inside of my life. You might listen to my messages 25 times and it not make sense. Don't stop, because there's coming a point where all of a sudden it'll crush that final rock and you'll be free. And you'll be the voice like mine saying, listen to it again, listen to it again. Listen to it again. When you get to the YouTube video and something I say stands out for you, stop the video. Look at the timestamp. Hold on just a second. Let me pull this up. Almost there. Now, I'm going to show you something. I'm taking this extra time on purpose. Now, this is so important. Please don't turn me off yet. You've got to see this. Screen number one. Here we go. This is a YouTube video of one of our Read the Word programs. Now, let me show you how to do this. When I'm preaching and you're studying one of our messages and you're like, wow, that is a powerful point. Look at these numbers right here. See them right here? 1:53, 23:25. That means this video is 23.25 minutes long. Right now, where I just made this statement is at minute 1:53. Now, let's say that that's where this statement is, and you're like, Wow. Here's what you do. You take that number. You go down here to this comment. Watch this. You put in 01:53. What did you just do? You created a timestamp. So then you just write powerful word of grace, whatever you want to put in there. And then you click comment. Now, I want you to notice that makes a comment on the video, but what does that give you the ability to do? That gives you the ability to go back to this video and click on that comment, and it's going to take you right back to that place every single time you do it. Now, watch in this video. I've already got some timestamps in this video. So this is a read the word. In this video at 03, that's 3:30, if you click this number, it'll take you to that exact point in that video. So what happens at this point? Deuteronomy chapter 30 is at that point. If you will do this with important videos in your life, when you come back to that video, all you got to do is open up your comment on that YouTube video and click your number, and it'll take you to the exact place where you're being that revelation. You listen to this now. A lot of our videos are 3 hours long. So you might have studied it for an hour and a half, and you want to remember the spot where you was at. Well, YouTube will usually remember it. However, make a timestamp in your name. Let's say 01:27:00, and then just type in the comment, this is where I left off. What difference does it make? When you come back to that video, you'll be able to go to your comment, click that number, and it will help you find where you were. Now, what I just did is help you learn how to study the Word of God by using these YouTube videos. It didn't cost you a penny. It didn't cost you a penny. I recommend that you spend the $12 a month, if you have it, on YouTube so you get YouTube Red and you get rid of all the advertisements. I recommend that. I really do. I've had YouTube Red now for a number of years, and it's some of the best $12 I ever spent. But I do most of my study by preachers right here on YouTube, and I don't ever have to deal with those annoying advertisements, and it'll play in the back of whatever else I'm doing on my phone. The YouTube video will still play. Now, I know that none of this has any depth of righteousness in it. However, what it does have is a revelation of how to help you study, because you've got to get the Word of God down deep in your life. You've got to get the Word of God down in your life. Only thing that can change you. I can dump a barrel of anointing oil over your head, but if that anointing has no word to connect to down in here, then it'll last for a couple of days. But you got to do the warfare to do the wage the war for what it is that we just put on the inside of you by the laying on of hands, and then you won't lose it in Jesus by the name. Well, that's all we got. That's like way much more than what we have, but it's a great way to come to an understanding of Almighty God. Now, remember this. We're here every day, 9 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Standard Time in the United States of America. We have a prayer program. If you can connect with us and pray, do it. We'd love to have you with us. Every evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, we have a program we call Establish Your Faith, where we just get in here and study faith, study faith, study faith, study faith. Don't just do it yourself. Share it with some friends. Everybody you meet, tell them, and you ought to see this program right here. And what'll happen is it'll begin to get down inside of you. And then grab your friends, bring them over, and say, let's study this word together. You might begin studying it, and you might begin to say, wait, and then just click the pause button and stop with your friends sitting there in the room with you and begin to minister the word of God on the inside. Get you a Bible. I recommend this one. This is one of the greatest concordance Bibles you'll ever find in your life. Get you the eSword app, e-sword.net, eSword app. You might say, what is it, Pastor? It looks like, where's my phone here? Let me show it to you. I know I say this often, but I'm going to say it again. Look at this little, down here in the bottom, see that little E with a sword across it? e-sword.net. Now, mine is eSword LT because I got an Apple, but get that on your phone. On Android, it's called MySword. Get you a Bible program where you can search up the verses. Another great Bible program that will help you is called Bible Hub, BibleHub.com. Let me pull that up for you real quick. BibleHub.com. There, that's what it looks like. It's actually an app, BibleHub.com. And what's all that's going to do? It's going to help you be able to study the Word of God and come to an understanding. Most of all, come back here and let us help you walk with God. Okalarchi, you will receive an email from me. It's very serious. If you guys send me an email and you don't get a response, you're going to have to send me another one because this whole app thing last night, beginning of the program, somebody had sent me something. I had to open up an app. I had to do something new I've never done before, and that app was not working. And we were on the beginning of the program on Zoom, and Brother Dan's like, remember, Pastor, don't be offended at an app. He was preaching my own message at me. So we love you. Remember this. You ready, Sister Leanne? Are you still with me, or are you busy with people?
I am still here. I was writing instructions to Okalarchi.
All right. You ready? We love you.
We love you.
And God
loves you.
And Jesus,
is
Lord.
Lord.
Now remember, watch this. I'm going to send Okalarchi an email. When I get finished here, I'm going to put a timestamp in on this video of how to use YouTube. I'm going to put a timestamp in so you can go in and watch it again. I know you probably didn't get it the first time. If you learn these timestamps, folks, you're going to find and make your study so much easier in the ways of God. You might say, Pastor, how do I keep this all in a place where I don't lose it? Well, send it to yourself in an email. Title the email. This is Pastor Sam preaching about righteousness. Title the email that, and then grab the link and put it right in that email. If I don't know about Android, but here on Apple, you get that little yellow notepad. See that little yellow notepad that says notes? That's an excellent way. Just copy that, share that link, right? Copy the link when you click share, and then put it right in a note, and then title the note. You can put as many words as you want in there, and that note to title it, so that you can come back. All you're doing is learning how you can do this. Okay, I got to go, guys. Love, say goodbye to everybody for me.
Goodbye, everyone. God bless you all.
All right.
Have a beautiful day.
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. Hey, we're running behind. Is it possible for you to hop on?
I'm scheduled that I can get on at 4, but I can get on now.